If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. While you're turning, let me encourage you to be in your place tonight. By the way, yesterday was church-wide visitation, and we had a wonderful, beautiful day to go out and to knock on some doors. If you forgot it, please make a note of that and do some visiting this week. And we have just all kind of people that we need to get up with. And especially for our Congress that's coming up Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, three great nights. Plan on being here every night and bringing someone with you. Heavenly Father, speak to our heart through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. And dear Lord, we pray tonight, today for the anointing of the blessed Spirit of God. Lord, Thou hast said that You'd give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Thee. And Lord, we're asking Thee for that anointing. Blessed Spirit, come. We accept Your promise by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. This week I was talking to my wife, and we were talking about, as I was preparing my message or doing my Bible reading, the thought came to my mind, all of God's creatures obey Him except man. The winds and the waves obey Him. And God has a very special place for everything that He has created. I was thinking about the little donkey, how it obeys Him. It had a ministry to carry the Son of God into the city. I was thinking about the rooster. Had a very special sermon for one of God's backslidden preachers, Peter. The rooster crowed at the right time. Whenever God said crow, he crowed at the right time. God has a very special ministry for everything that He has created. And everything obeys Him except man. Man is the rebel upon God's creation. And in Genesis chapter 9, I want us to read a passage of Scripture, and I want to talk to you this morning about the ministry of clouds. Look, it says in verse 8, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, I behold, establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you." In other words, this covenant was established with you and I are even included in this, in a sense. "And I behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with ever living creature that is with you," ever living creature, "of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, and with all that are out of the ark, to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you and the beast." I want you to know, I want them to know what I'm going to do. "And of the fowl, and of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, and of all that are out of the earth, and every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the clouds." I wish you'd underline that word, that phrase, "in the cloud. And it shall be a token of a covenant or a promise between me and the earth. And I shall bring to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth." So every time now you see a cloud afterwards, "I'm going to bring it upon the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." Underline the phrase, "in the cloud." Bring a cloud in the cloud. "And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." God's making a solemn promise now to man and to every creature that's upon the face of the earth. He'll not destroy the world anymore with water. "And the bow is a picture, it's a symbol. And the bow shall be in the cloud," underline it, "and I will look upon it, and I remember that everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is upon the earth. Notice verses 13 and verse 14. The phrase, in the cloud. The cloud. Now, as you begin to read the Scriptures and you begin to study the Scriptures, you'll find out there is a science of biblical interpretation called a biblical hermeneutics. And as you begin to study it, you'll find out there are certain laws and certain principles and interpretation. And if you apply these laws to interpretation, you get the right and proper meaning of all of the Scriptures that you read. This is the first time there's a law of first mentioning in biblical interpretation. And this is the first time that the word cloud is mentioned in the Scripture. It's not mentioned before this because there was no rain before this. This is the first time that the word cloud is mentioned. So as I began to read, I began to apply and think about the law of first mentioning. The law of first mentioning is a principle or a law that the first time a subject or word is mentioned in the Scriptures, it carries with it a meaning or a key that will be carried all the way afterwards throughout the Scripture every time that it is mentioned. In other words, when it is mentioned, you have a key or a guide or the meaning in that passage that it will be carried out throughout every time it's mentioned thereafter. So I thought, I wonder if this applies to the word cloud. First time it's mentioned, but I wonder if it applies to the word cloud. And of course it does, because I've never known it to fail in all my 40-some years every time I read the Word of God. The law of first mentioning is a biblical science, a biblical interpretation of the word, of the hermeneutics. And the first time the word cloud is mentioned. Now, underlined, I want to speak to you on the ministry of clouds. And this law of first mention shows its meaning or key every time it is mentioned throughout the Scripture thereafter. Now, let's look at it when it's mentioned the first time here. The first time it's mentioned, we see a promise, a covenant. There is a promise. And the promise simply is that God will protect the earth from destroying the earth. He will not destroy it anymore with water. So it's God's protection. It's a promise of God's protection upon the earth. Then secondly, it's a promise of God's provision. And God will provide water. God will provide water for rain. He will provide rain. But He also provides peace. Whenever you see that rainbow in the clouds, you know God's going to send rain, but He's not going to destroy it anymore. He's going to let the rain come so that we can water the creatures of the earth, so that we can water the fields so it'll bring forth good fruit. And God has a promise of provision in this verse. Then I see something else. I see the promise of God's presence. And God said that I will set my bow in the clouds. And God said, when I bring a cloud over the earth, and this covenant, and I will remember my covenant, God Himself is the presence of God is seen in this covenant with Noah. So the promise of God's presence is seen. Now, notice that, let's look at this. The word cloud, in the cloud. What are the ministries of the cloud? Well, Exodus 13, 21 says, by day, a pillar of cloud to lead them. God's provision of leading the children of Israel out of the cloud. Then the promise of God's presence. The glory of God appeared in the cloud. It was the glory of God. And God spoke to them out of the cloud. And here's a ministry beginning to develop. God called upon unto Moses out of the cloud. Exodus 24, 16. Leviticus 16, 2. I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. So the law of first mentioning is carrying right on through the thought, the key, the guide for the first time it was mentioned. Then the ministry of the cloud is seen in our Lord's life. The clouds are the dust of His feet. Nahum 1:3. That's His presence. You don't walk up on the seashore without leaving your presence. And God's presence is seen in the clouds, in the dust. The clouds are the dust of His feet. Then the clouds cover His glory. Mark 9:7. And there was a cloud that overshadowed shattered them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And then the cloud, in Luke 21:7, the Son of Man comes in a cloud. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Then the cloud received them out of their sight. Acts 1:9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Then the saints were called up together with them in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Behold, he cometh in the clouds. So, from Genesis chapter 9 to the end of the Bible, to the book of the Revelation, clouds have a very active part in God's plan and in God's purpose. Now, I've never preached on clouds before, but I'm going to preach on the ministry of clouds today. What is the ministry of clouds? Clouds are mentioned approximately 200 times in the scriptures, and make a very interesting study if we will study it. The rainbow in the cloud was God's promise. He did not want his people to live in fear of another deluge or another flood that would come up and destroy the world. And it proclaims that our God is faithful. He made a reminder, and you'll see a clouds after the rain, you'll see a rainbow in the sky. So it proclaims God's faithfulness. Let's look at clouds in a metaphorical sense. And let's apply that to our own life and let their ministry minister to us in the spiritual sense. Let's look at clouds that come in our life and see them to us through these experiences. I remember, I'm not a great fan of the comics, whatever, I'm about to say funny books, so they're not funny, they don't call. You can tell I don't know anybody. Joe Palooka, I remember him. When I was a boy, he used to be a boxer. Popeye, I remember Popeye. But I just about got out of, and I'm not, if you want to read the funnies, fun, to have a funny time, I don't care. But I'm simply saying, I remember one time that there was a guy in the comic strip. Everywhere he went, a cloud followed him. I thought, who was that? Some of you geniuses, brilliant people. Who was that? Who was that guy?
Joe
Bipplesplick or somebody. I don't know who it was. So,
Little Abner.
All right. Everywhere he'd go, a cloud would follow him over the top of his head. And boy, he was down in the mouth of the cloud. You've heard people use the expression, he's under a cloud. And we see clouds that come in our life. There are clouds that the storm begins to roll. Clouds come into our nation. Clouds come into our life. Clouds come into our... We have a cloud that comes in and ministers to us. And I want us to look at those clouds today. Clouds come over us in the sky of our life. And let's use these things, principles that we learned about the cloud and apply them to the clouds that come into our life. Notice the clouds of providence in verse 14. And it shall come to pass when... Who's going to bring the cloud? When I bring the cloud. Clouds are the work of God. God gives us the cloud. And therefore I'm glad. I will bring a cloud in verse 14. Clouds come in our life from God. They are clouds of adversity. Clouds of trouble. Clouds of sorrow. Clouds of sickness. Clouds of bereavement. These storms or these clouds come into our life, but they come there because of a providence of God. God is in control. Whenever the clouds begin to roll into your life and you begin to be fearful, just remember that there's an all-seeing hand. There's an all-wise God that's allowed that to come into my life and come into your life. God has a purpose for it. So these clouds of providence, they are from God. But they always remember that clouds can only come by God's permission. They're not only from God, but they're therefore our good. God allows them to come into our life for our good and His glory. Whenever a cloud comes into our life, clouds do not please themselves, but they obey wonderful laws and the lawgiver. God knows all about our clouds. Some of you are going through maybe it's a heartache. I think of maybe there is a trying time you're going through right now. And this cloud has moved in. Sorrow, financial difficulty, trial. You let this cloud move into your life. Just remember that there is a providential hand of God that is in that, and God knows it's for your good and His glory. So God knows all about our clouds. Don't think that God's forgotten you. Whenever the storms come, He hasn't. Then on the Mount of Transfiguration, we read, and the disciples feared as they entered into the cloud. Sometimes here was a cloud that came upon the Mount of Transfiguration. They said, and they began to talk. And they talked with Elijah. And they talked with Moses. And Peter said, it sure be good for us to build 3 tabernacles, Lord, and let's stay right here on top of this cloud. And there was a cloud that came or on top of this mountain. And there was a cloud that came over top of them and covered them. And they saw Jesus only. He was in the cloud. And this experience, we ought not fear, for He brought the cloud to show them what? He brought the cloud on the Mount of Transfiguration to show them His glory and for them not to be afraid. And God wanted them to see His provision, His promise of His glory. And it's for His glory. So the clouds obey Him. Clouds of providence reveal His plan in our life. Secondly, not only do we see the clouds of providence, but we see the clouds of His presence. When God comes into, or when a cloud comes into our life, His presence so many times. And it says, and God is in the cloud. He speaks out of the cloud. You want a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord, then you allow the Lord to bring the clouds of difficulty, the clouds of distress, the clouds of heartache, the clouds of adversity, whatever it may be, suffering, whatever it may be. You allow them to come. Whenever they come, find God's purpose. Find God's plan. Find a close, intimate fellowship with the Lord in the clouds. You can find those things when they come into your life. The Lord said, I will come unto thee in a dark cloud. These clouds are the dwelling place of God. God dwells in the clouds. And often God answers our prayers to be drawn near to Him by sending a cloud into our life. We say, Lord, help me to have a closer walk with You. And God allow a cloud to come in so that we can enjoy His presence in our life. And we get to know each other on a better, a more intimate way. And in the midst, in Mount Transfiguration, before the mists are rolled away, we began to see Jesus and Jesus only in the clouds that our Lord allows to come into our life. Folk, I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that we would have a far greater relationship with Him if we would submit to God's working in our life. And we'll learn more about Him and His presence in our life, and more intimate personal relationship, if we'd submit to the providence and the will of God and say, Lord, we want to know more about You. We don't want to build just to have a great experience being on this mountaintop, and the Lord brings a cloud in our life so that we can see Jesus and Jesus only. So the clouds shut us into God. That's why God allows them to come. They shut us into God. And we enjoy His intimacy and personal fellowship. Whenever I went through my deepest, darkest peril of my life, and I don't ever want to go through it again, I don't ever want to have to face those things again. And I've gone through many dark, deep, stormy clouds in my life, and I don't want to go through them again. But I want to learn, and I want to be able to know Him in a more intimate, personal relationship. And I want to be able to grow thereby
to where I can say these are, God is in the storm. God is in the cloud. God's presence is there. And that's where I want to be. I have learned more going through that than I've ever learned in all my other experiences with the Lord. So clouds, the clouds are for to reveal His presence. We read in Exodus 16:10, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. There was the glory of God was for was in the cloud. And that's where we can look and find His glory is in the cloud. Therefore, glorify God in it. It could be the brightest day of your life when you remember when the blind lady, I can't even think of her name, the songwriter right now. Yeah. Everybody knows Fanny Crosby. Everybody knows Fanny Crosby. You know what happened to her when she was a child. And the doctors put a, or the, they put a poultice on her eyes, and she had an infection in her eyes, and her eyes, she went blind. But she would have never written all those beautiful, wonderful songs that she had written had it not been for that cloud of adversity that came in her life. So you may wonder, why in the world has this happened to me? Have you ever said that to yourself? Lord, what? How long, oh Lord? You may be like the little guy that everywhere you go, a cloud follows you, you think, and it's over your head. And all these difficulties seem to come into your life. What's God trying to do? He wants to show you that He is in the cloud, and the glory of God is in that cloud, and that we can learn from that, and we can learn that experience. So clouds reveal the glory of God, and it could be the brightest day of my life and the brightest day of your life. It reveals His power. God shows us the power of God to hold back the deluge, to hold back the floods, to hold back His wrath and not destroy the world anymore with water. Sometimes I've seen the waters, the floods come, and I've seen the storms raise. And I thank God, God has promised He'll not destroy the world anymore with water. He has made a promise, and the clouds reveal His power. Then we see the providence of God. We see the promises of God. The bow of promise, and the bow shall be seen in it. The bow is the promise. It is a token of the promise of God, that God is allowing this to come into my life. And if for a reason, and the promises of God, you look into your life. You look into your, I was thinking of Brother Tom Dunlap this week. And Brother Tom's had some physical problems. And they went to the hospital to find out what was wrong with his hurting in his chest. Couldn't find anything. Gone through some difficult times physically. But God has a promise in that. God has a promise, and God will reveal Himself through those things if we will allow Him to. We will see the bow, the promise is seen in the cloud. Everything that happens in our life is for our good and God's glory. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you honestly let that get a hold of you? Everything that comes in your life is for your good and God's glory. Now, I'm not to the point where I'm walking down the steps and I trip and fall. And I trip and I say, thank you, Lord. I'm glad that's over. That's not where but I feel that God allows things to come into my life for His good. For my good and for His glory. Pain in a Christian's life is a process with a divine purpose. Romans 8:28 is one of my favorite verses, and I think about how that God allows things to come and pain coming in my life. Now, you can inflict pain upon you by doing some dumb thing. God wasn't in that. God allowed you to do a dumb thing, but God wasn't in that. So it's a process with a divine purpose. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, is that all things?
Certainly, that means all things. What does all mean? All means all. That's all that all means. All means all. And we accept that. And God knows what's best. And God's in charge. And God's in control. And I see all these things that are happening in our land and in our country. And I say, I told my wife, I said, you be careful, open the mail. I mean that. Just be alert. I talked to my grandson last night. And I said, son, how's things going? And he said, well, pup, really, all we can do is to be alert and not do anything foolish. And just watch and keep ourselves alert to what will happen. We're living in a different day now since September the 11th. We just have to watch. These things, dark clouds, means bright blessings. God allows these things to come in our nation's life. I was up in New York, and this little lady from, where was she from? Japan? The lady from Japan, a reporter, said to me, how could a Christian God, like your Christian God, allow such things to happen in your Christian country? And I said, ma'am, we're not a Christian country. We were founded upon Christian principles, but we've left the God of our fathers. And I have gotten a new answer for that when people ask me that. And here's my answer. I answer their question by asking them one. That's always a good way to do it. What happened to Israel whenever Israel turned their back on the God of their fathers? What happened to them? God took them to Moab. God took them to the woodshed. God used a heathen nation to whittle them down and bring them down to size. And God told them that they turned back to Him, turned back to God. Now, I really and truly feel that there is a sovereign God in control. And God raises up nations and God takes down nations. And you and I happen to be in a great nation. But oh, listen, our nation has turned from God. There's storms, clouds all around us. But God's hand is in it. I want you to see God's hand. I want you to see the hand of God. These dark clouds mean a bright blessing. Dark clouds mean showers of blessing. Rain loosens the soil. You take and whenever a storm comes, there's always a blessing comes from it. That rain falls and loosens and the soil and will take an old flint-like a field that is hard as flint and will soften it up to where that it can sow seed and the clods will be broken up and their seed can come forth and there'll be blessing coming out of that storm or that cloud that comes in your life. It fertilizes the blessing. And then the clouds, they bring patience. Tribulation and trials always work patience. The hymn writer said, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercies and will break in blessings on your head. And how God allows it, God permits it. Just submit to the potter's hand and look for God in the cloud. 2 Corinthians 4:16-17 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Every time I read that, I think of people who have arthritis. And my sister-in-law has such pain. Matter of fact, I think she's in bed today with such pain and body aching and racked with bones aching and have to put in new joints. Oh, by the way, pray for Henry Jordan. Henry's got a busted elbow. Would have busted his head, but it's too hard. So pray for Henry. He's got to have surgery Monday. I thought of those pains. It says, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. I thought of people whose bodies are racked with pain. And I'm going to tell you, after you get over 60, so they tell me, after you get over 60, you either have a pain
all the time, or you've got one loading getting ready to shoot. Somebody said you had shooting pains. I believe that. You have one loading getting ready to shoot. You have those pains. There's always something aching, hurting. But thanks be unto God, one day we'll drop this old robe of flesh and rise and cease the everlasting cries and shout while passing through the air, "Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer." But God's, we're not in the happy land now, but one day we will be. We'll have a new body. So these clouds come in our life with God's perfect plan. Isn't it wonderful to know that God has a perfect plan? God has a perfect will for our life. When I was in Bible college, I was a young man, just 23 years of age, and I went to Bible college, and I never will forget a fellow that sat right beside of me, and he had surrendered to go to Japan as a missionary, just a freshman. He was in his late teens, and I was in my early 20s, and I was talking about he had surrendered to go to this school. And you know something? He got cancer. Cancer, the old big C, moved in on his life. You know what that young man did? He took treatment, but he never quit studying. And the doctor came back and said he'll not live another year. 6 to 8 months is what they gave him to live. That man was as faithful as he could be. I see him so sick, and he was still studying, still preparing, still working, going to go to the mission field if God let him. He said, "God called me to go to the mission field, and if God doesn't want me to go to the mission field, I'm going to prepare and go as far as I can go. I'm going to say, hey, listen, isn't that what it's like?" Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How? By submitting and surrendering to do the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe that young man went to the mission field. He died. He didn't make it. And I thought, well, and I think of Brother Charlie Anderson, my dear friend, the used to be associate pastor of this church years ago when we first started. Charlie, one of the finest, most dedicated men I know. And when I got sick with my dark peril and my days of going into the valley, well, Brother Anderson was with me in a meeting that week. And then after I got out of it, I came out of it and was all right. Well, Charlie got cancer and went into the dark. And I went to visit him and I said, "Charlie, you're going to be all right. I know you're going to be okay." Well, he didn't. He died. And I lived. And I had a hard time with that. I didn't understand why God allowed... I didn't understand, God, why would you take Charlie? Why would you allow the storm and allow clouds of adversity and sickness to come into a man's life who I know is a far better Christian than I? Who is one of the most godly men I've ever met. One of the most loyal, one of the most faithful men I've ever known. I don't understand, Lord. And you took him, but you left me. I don't understand that. I don't understand it. And the Lord seemed to say to me that I make no mistakes. I make no mistakes. Believe me, His will is far better if we just submit and yield to it. And when those storms come in our life, clouds come in our life with God's perfect plan. So, let's look at the clouds. Let them minister in our life. Let the clouds minister to our life. And when they come, they will always have God's promise of His protection, God's promise of His provision, and God's promise of His presence will always be in the clouds as they come into our life and as God begins to mold us and to make us into His image. So let these clouds minister to me and you and show us God's good and acceptable and perfect will. Submit to them. Yield to them. And one day we will drop this robe of flesh. One day the pain will be gone. One day the sorrow will be over. And then we'll sit down and the Lord will show us all these plans and This would have happened if you had gone this way. This would have happened. This, here's your plan. Here's your life. Here, and you yield to the good and accept the will. And let the clouds minister to you as they come in your life. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud. God brings clouds in our life. Over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And God speaks to us out of the cloud. God's presence, His power, His provision is seen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around. Surrender to the hand of providence, to the hand of a sovereign God, to the hand of the potter, and let Him make your life. Let Him mold your life. Quit hanging on to material things that don't mean a hill of beans. Quit hanging on to things that are temporal and go toward that is eternal. Oh, let clouds minister to our life, and let the Lord minister through our life as we yield to Him. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed, we're going to sing a stand with an invitation hymn. If God's speaking to your heart, you are saved. I had a preacher friend call me the other day and he said, you know, preacher, I'm really having real problems. I said, what's wrong, son? He said, I've won five people to the Lord. Well, I said, that's great. Oh, he said, I can't get them to come to church. They won't come to church, Brother Bale. I said, you didn't win them to the Lord, son. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, yes, I did. I said, no. He said, they cried. I said, no. 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 I don't care how they cried. I don't care how emotional they were. It makes no difference. More than likely, you didn't win them to the Lord. They were emotional. Because whenever you get saved, you want to be in God's house with God's people. You want God's will in your life more than anything in this world. You'll want it when you're surrendered to the Lord.